All right, y'all ready? Put your hands together. Turn it up, turn it up. Hey, hey. Say we love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain. That happens when we proclaim your great name, help me sing it, y'all.
We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain.
Sing it out, y'all. something just changes. You can feel that warmth inside of you. So I want to volunteer to help me out with this, to come and read a scripture.
There you are. Hi.
Okay, if you have your device or your Bible, your, you know, hardback, we're going to look at Luke 18. And they'll put it up here for you too, okay? So Luke 18, 35 through 43. You ready? And don't read too fast. Sometimes we read our Bibles a little too fast. Now slow down. All right, you ready?
As he approached Jericho,
a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what was happening. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, they told him. So he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
The blind beggar is sitting there, and who did they say was coming by? Okay, keep going.
So he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then those in front of him told him to keep quiet.
Did y'all notice what just happened right there? So who's coming by? Say it louder. Who's coming by? Jesus is coming by. The blind beggar knows he has a need. So what does he do? He cries out, son of David, have mercy on me. But what did the people around him do? How did they respond? They told him to shush. They told him to be quiet. Let's see how he responds to that. Go ahead.
But he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him.
How did he respond when they told him to be quiet? How did he respond when they told him to be quiet? Did he get embarrassed and say, oh, they heard me, let me just hush? No. What did he do? And because he kept crying out, how did Jesus respond to him? If you notice, the first time he called out to Jesus, did Jesus respond? It wasn't until he was able to ignore the naysayers, ignore the people who were judging him, ignore the people who were trying to tell him, you need to hush, you need to stop praising God. Then Jesus said, okay, I see, you're able to love me and have faith in me beyond what people are saying and doing around you. Does that make sense? So Jesus calls him to him. Okay, keep going.
Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. When he came closer, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. Receive your sight, Jesus told him.
What just happened? I can't hear you. What just happened? He healed him. He said, what do you want? Because he noticed that when he was able to ignore everybody around him, he said, what you want? Whatever you want, I got you. And he asked for his sight. Keep finish it out.
Receive your sight, Jesus told him. Your faith has saved you. Instantly, he could see, and he began to follow him, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God.
Give Justice a hand. Thank you, Justice. Thank you, girl. So the point of that is, which I know some of you already get it, but you have to continue to cry out to God no matter what you think people around you will say. You don't ever have to feel embarrassed because God wants to see, are you willing to give yourself to him even at the risk of embarrassment, at the risk of people judging you, calling you crazy? Are you willing to shout louder? Does that make sense? And when he did that, not only did Jesus heal him, but it says in verse 43 that the other people began to do what? They began to praise God. So your praise, your worship to God, not only helps with your healing and your faith, but it helps with those around you. Does that make sense? So as we lift up this song, we're going to sing a song called My Worship. And it talks about how you have to give your worship to God. And then the other people around you, they'll respond too. Does that make sense? So let's just close our eyes and we're going to begin to shout the name of Jesus and just continue to call on the Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We bless you. There's no God like you. Just talk to him, y'all. Thank you.
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one. That we thought we had just seems to disappear, because when you enter the room, hallelujah, when you enter the room, we're able to see just how big you are, and our problems are so small. We lift our hands and our hearts to you, Father, and we just say we love you and we thank you. And the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Everybody say amen. I love y'all.
Amen, y'all. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. What an awesome God we serve that we have the freedom to be able to worship him freely in a country where we don't have to worry about, you know, our safety if we worship the Lord. Amen. I want to give y'all an encouraging word today that the Lord has really been putting on my heart these past few days. And for some of y'all, maybe y'all have been experiencing it. So first I'm going to read from 1 John 2 verses 15, which says, "Do not love the things of the world, nor what it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers the craving of physical pleasure and cravings of everything we see in pride and in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And in this world, and this world is fading away along with everything it offers and that people crave. But anyone who does pleases God will live forever." 1 John 2 verses 15. And recently, I feel like the Lord has really been putting on my heart that for some of y'all know we are in a war, right? We are in a war of the culture versus Christianity. And for some of y'all who have been experiencing it, I just want to commend you and know that through that struggle and through that, through what the Lord has been teaching you, and maybe he's been putting on your heart to preach to others, I really, 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 y'all know time is running out. And we don't know the day nor the time, but we do know the season. We do know when the Lord, we do know the signs that the Lord is coming. It says in the Bible that there will be rumors of wars. And what do we hear now? China and Russia and, you know, versus the U.S. We hear about the Euphrates River drying up, which very much has dried up, y'all. And I really, 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 I made some notes so that y'all can get everything that the Lord has put on my heart. I just want you to know that if you're going through a struggle, that the Bible says the Lord saves the brokenhearted and those who are crushed in the spirit. Maybe you've been drifting away from the Lord because, you know, you're like, well, this is going through my life. And I want you to know that if you're struggling right now, that's a sign that the Lord is with you. The devil wouldn't put anything against you if you're playing for his team. For those of you who may not be feeling the Lord in your life right now, or you feel like you're drifting away, I challenge you to ask yourself what team you're playing for. Because the devil isn't gonna bother anyone who's playing for his team. But once you put in your heart that opposition against the things of the world, against the things of the culture, I want you to know that through your struggles, the Lord is saving you, the Lord is supporting you through your struggles. I also wanted to let you know, for a lot of y'all who may be scared to stray away from the culture and the things of this world, a lot of us, and I'm victim to this, very victim to this, we're worried about how people feel in this moment. This is our life right now. What, 50, 60, 70, 80 years? When this is eternity. This is eternity. We're worried about how people feel about us now. What we wear won't matter in the next 5 years. How we speak won't matter in the next 5 years, but this will. Right? I also wanted to challenge you guys going into this next week. One thing I've struggled with is standing firm against the culture. How will people talk about me at school if they know I'm Christian? How will they feel about me knowing that, you know, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do this? And through that, the Lord, I feel like for me and for some of y'all, he said that if you know the word and you're choosing not to spread it, you're just as bad as somebody of the world. You know, if I know the gospel and I'm not choosing to spread it and I'm basically gatekeeping it, what does that say about me? Does that say I'm ashamed? The Lord, you know, in the Bible, he tells us to live unashamed in the gospel and the good news it brings. I also wanted to tell y'all that I say this not to scare y'all, but to save you. This isn't to monger fear in you, but to let you know to challenge yourself going into this next week. You know, life is too short and we don't know the day or time. Do right in this so you can have this, rewards in this. You know, I challenge you going into this next week, and I thank y'all for y'all time.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
How are y'all doing today?
Woo! I love to hear it.
If you love Jesus, can I get an amen?
I know y'all can do better than that.
He did die for our sins, so can I get an amen?
I love
to hear it. I love to hear it. I love to hear it. So good morning, everybody. Welcome to OCBF Next Level Youth. We're excited to see you guys today. And we hope that everybody gets something out of service today. Whether you leave with something on your heart, whether you give something to the Lord today, I hope that everyone leaves feeling renewed and that Jesus did something for you in today's service.
Yes, our verse of the month is Luke chapter 6, verse 31, also known as the Golden Rule. So let's treat others the way you would want to be treated. Now, can you please bow your heads for a word of prayer? Dear Lord, we come before you just thanking you for all you've done, giving you all the glory and honor your name deserve because you are the one true God. And I just pray over all these people in this room that you may just protect them, guide them, be over them throughout the week, and that everybody will just go home with something. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.
I often get asked the question of why Christians should care about or think about Black History Month. I actually get asked it across the board. I've had African American friends ask me that. I've also had my white brothers and sisters ask me. And yet, although I think that it needs to go beyond a single month, there is a special point of emphasis in the month of February to consider the numerous and significant contributions of African Americans in particular to American culture. And I want to encourage you in this way. That there is no kind of Western Christianity without what God accomplished in Northern Africa in the first century. In fact, a great deal of our kind of theological understanding and makeup was wrought in Northern Africa, not in Europe. In fact, there are many that would even trace the Reformation itself to Martin Luther's relationship with a deacon in Northern Africa. And so our roots as Christians and our roots as America and the things that we would look around and really celebrate, a lot of this has been built by those who are African American or African descent, and so it's wise for us to grow in an understanding and a knowledge of how God has used and called unto himself men and women from every tribe, tongue, and nation on earth, and how those men and women have contributed to this beautiful tapestry of what it means to be the people of God in the United States of America. And so February is a month that has been set aside for that. My hope would be that your curiosity might be stoked in February so that you become a lifelong learner about how God is using men and women, both historically and in the present, to shape the kingdom of God in front of us. And so I would just encourage you, use the month of February, branch out, identify an African American in history that you don't know anything about or that you didn't hear growing up in the public schools, and dive in. I would commend to you, I think one of the best places to start is Wilkerson's book, The Warmth of Other Suns, about the Great Migration. I think that book, specifically for my Anglo brothers and sisters, lays a bit of a foundation, some historical foundation that I think helps understand kind of the current landscape in a way that for many of us it's been hard for us to understand. And so I would just commend that resource as just one, and I think from there you'll be able to spot some other ones to jump off on. So dive in. God bless you. Let's grow together as a family.
Good morning, Next Gen Youth.
Good morning. I'm sure you know by now that our Next Gen family has a special treat for all of you. Immediately following service, join us in the Youth Cafe for pizza and popcorn. This month, we have been learning about respect, showing others how important they are with our words and actions. After service today, we want you to share with one of the Kingdom servants or staff how you've shown others how important they are for a chance to win a gift card. And you know, I'll be sharing mine.
Okay, let's get into the real Next Gen. Hey family, we have a great opportunity to give back to the community. Our brothers and sisters at Youth World are hosting an Easter basket giveaway, and we get to be a part of that. Beginning in March, we are asking all of you to bring a bag of candy and plastic eggs. We will have a bucket outside the youth room for you to drop off your items.
Next Gen Youth Leaders, on Saturday, March 18th at 10 a.m., we are serving those that are without in this season. For more information, please see Mr. Isaac. Calling all Fuse Leaders, student leader discipleship meetings are held every fourth Sunday at 9 a.m. in the music room. Bring your Bible and pen. Wow, Next Gen has added a spiritual growth class. For anyone who is interested in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, this is for you. It's a three-week class that begins in March. It is held on first through third Sunday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you'd like to sign up, please go to the information desk outside the youth room.
KAA, you know, are you all ready for summer camp? We are going back to where it all started. If you enjoy boat riding, treetops, swimming, meeting new people, and so much more, you do not want to miss this year at KAA. For more information, stop by our information desk located outside of the youth room.
HEAT scholarship registration for seniors is open. Seniors, please pick up your application at the Next Gen Youth Information Desk.
Real Men Discipleship is taking a trip to Clyde Warren Park. They are getting ready to get fit for Christ as they learn about the importance of strengthening their physical and spiritual bodies. For more information, see Mr. Ryan after service.
Okay, friends, next month, our theme is Under Construction. We're talking about forgiveness and why others need our forgiveness just as we need our Father in heaven to forgive us. For the first week, we're asking everyone to bring a note card with anyone you need to forgive on there. We have bins throughout the Commons area that say, I forgive you, and you can place the cards there. We are praying that this month is a month you set free anyone that has wronged you from the jail in your heart. It's time to be set free, friends. Well, that's The Real Next Gen. We hope you all enjoy service. Thank you for tuning in. Bye.
Bye, fam.
Okay, I've got a couple tag announcements for you. So welcome, those of you who are new, stand up for us. And we want to applaud you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Next Gen. Yay. This young lady here, we met at the Therefore Conference yesterday and the day before. And she's here. She came to visit us. So give her another round of applause. Welcome to you. And so I see the rest of us, we're family. I haven't caught up with some of you since Valentine's Day. How was Valentine's Day? This sounds like womp, womp. Okay. All right. Praying for y'all. All right. Sounds good. So we have March Madness coming up. And March Madness is coming up, and so we're going to have some five-on-fives, three-point shootouts. We're going to have volleyball tournaments, okay? Yeah, and this is not discriminatory, okay? Male and female, you can play also Generate, which welcome to you, too. Thank you for coming today. You are welcome to participate, too. So if you know how to play and you want to beat some of these youngins, please sign up. We got a black table back here. We want you to sign up for the 5-on-5 and volleyball tournament. And I'm not sure if the 3-point shootout list is over there, but please sign up, okay? Because space is limited. The next tag announcement is that the step team and mine is auditioning, okay? So if you are interested in being in either one, step team or mime team, auditions will be March 12th. It'll be immediately after service in this room for one of them. I believe step will be in here and mime will be at a different location, upstairs, music room. Okay, oh, she's nodding. Okay, great. Upstairs in the music room for mime. That is March 12th, so mark your calendars and we hope to see you there. Don't forget to sign up. Thank you. Well, we've got a special guest for you today, right here from Dallas. Used to go to GP, Grace Prep. So I hope that you will give him a warm, warm welcome and all of your attention. We've got Mr. Sheridan Forte.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How y'all doing? Nah, that wasn't good enough, man. I said, how y'all doing? Act like y'all saved, man. Where the excitement at? Yeah, that's what's up. Honestly, man, I didn't even feel like I needed to come preach. Boy, y'all, somebody came on stage and lit it up. Man, that message that went before, goodness, man, that was on point. But since God did give me a message, I do have to go ahead and deliver it to you. All right? So First thing I want to do, man, I don't know if my beautiful wife is in the building, but I'm not going to ask her to stand up because she's pregnant. But Miss L'Oreal Forte is in the building. I love this woman. She is my everything. And babe, where you at? If you just raise your hand, I don't know if she's here. Ah, where is she? Did she leave? All right, she probably left. She'll be back. But it's all good. It's all good. So first off, I got to give praise to God, right? As you know, without him, none of us would be here. So I got to give praise to him for this opportunity to come and speak. And like I said, I work in the school system, so I know how it is. I know how short your attention span is. So believe me, I'll be in and out about 25, 30 minutes. Is that all right? Is that all right? I heard an okay over here. What about this side? Is that okay? That's cool? All right. I like it. All right. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31. Now, we already know what the theme is, the golden rule, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's the rule. That's the golden rule. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 31. When you have it, everybody say word up. I love it. All right, let's get it. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those that curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your tunic, give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish, here it is, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. The title of my message this morning, the golden calf or the golden rule? The golden calf or the golden rule? Father God, we thank you that you have allowed us to assemble into this place, not for anybody else other than you. God, you woke us up this morning, even though we were distracted, even though we almost didn't make it. God, you saw fit to bring us into this place. But now that we are in here, God, we pray that you are in here as well. And we pray that a message goes forth that will pierce the soul and the heart of everyone in this room, no matter who we are, no matter what age, no matter what walk of life we came from. God, I pray that you remove me out of the way and that you stand up on this stage and let Sheridan Forte sit down so that I can be edified by the word that you have given me. God, I thank you. I love you and I praise you. And it is in your son Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, so you're probably thinking, why did I title this message the golden calf versus the golden rule, right? The golden calf versus the golden rule. And I got to be honest with you, before I get started in the message, when they told me the scripture that was going, that was the theme for this month or this week, when they told me the scripture, I immediately thought to myself, what? The golden rule, that's easy. We know what that is. Like, wait a minute. And I began to automatically, when I went to open my Bible and I was in prayer, I'm like, all right, God, what is it that you want me to talk about the golden rule? And he gave me the golden calf or the golden rule. And immediately, I overcomplicated the message to the point I was frustrated with my wife. I was frustrated with my kids. They running around the house. Daddy, I'm like, man, come on, man. Y'all too loud, man. Chill. And the whole time, I'm thinking it was them, but it was actually me because I overcomplicated a simple message. See, the problem with me was when God gave me the message, I immediately went back to my past and said, man, I've been hearing about the golden rule since I was five. That's easy. And you want me to go preach this to OCBF kids? Come on. They're sitting up on the Tony Evans. They're sitting up on the Jonathan Evans. They're sitting up on the Isaac Shepherd. Are you sure that this is what you want me to tell them? And he spoke to my heart. Just because you heard it before don't mean you heard it before. Just because you heard it don't mean that you listened to it. Just because it was repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again doesn't mean you got it. So it's somebody in this room that I believe by God's divine appointment, by his divine appointment, there is something that is going to be said today that's going to impact your life to the point that you may be changed forever if you listen this time. You didn't listen when you was 5, but listen this time. When you didn't listen when you was 6, listen this time. You may have not have listened when you was 10, but listen this time. I overcomplicated the message, but I don't want you to feel bad. We overcomplicate the message. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. We overcomplicate that. But I don't want you to feel bad about it. Want to know why? It was somebody else in the Bible that overcomplicated something that was so simple. You don't have to go there, but I'm going to show it to you right here in Exodus chapter 32, all right? I'm going to read it from Exodus chapter 32, from verse 1 through 4. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up. That's funny to me. They told him to get up. Bro, get up. Come here right quick. Make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, man, we don't know what happened to him. We don't even know what became of him. So Aaron said to them, all right, I got you. Let me do something right quick. All right, this is what I'll tell you to do. Take off the rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Take off all the earrings, the gold. Yeah, they're pretty ones too. I know you like it. I know it was a gift, but if you want me to create this thing, I want you to take off that, give it to me. And he said, and bring them to me. And so all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Real history, history lesson right quick, 30 seconds. Everybody in here knows about the Exodus story. They were in bondage. God sent Moses to deliver his people. But when he delivered them, he gave them a set of rules to live by. One thing that he said among many, he said, do not make any gods of gold and silver. So he had already told them what it was. They already knew. So they can miss him with that. I didn't know because they knew, because the Bible also said they agree with it. Not only did he tell them, they agree with it. I bet we're not going to make it. We won't make any of it. We're going to follow you. You just delivered us. You supported this Red Sea. Man, we'll follow you to the day that we die. We get it. We love you. We're going to worship. We're going to honor you. But then right here, when Moses took too long to come back down from the mountain, let me tell you the significance of that. Moses, before this time, had went up the mountain 5 times already. He went up the mountain 5 times. And they were used to him coming back down the mountain at the time they felt like he should come back down the mountain. He would go up, get a word, come back down, deliver it to the people. Go up, come back down, get a word, deliver it to the people. He did that 5 times, but on the sixth time, he stayed up there for 40 days. And watch what happened. They began to overanalyze what had happened. They began to overthink it. 35 days, man, what you think going on? I don't know. Last time he was back down in 2 days, man. It ain't taking this long. Well, it's 36 days. Well, I tell you what. On the 40th day, he ain't came back down. Man, we're going to do something to ourselves. They begin to overanalyze it, overthink it. They begin to try to solve a problem that didn't even exist. All because God wasn't moving on their time. And since God wasn't moving on their time, they said, wait a minute. Let's create us a God that will move on our time. Let's worship this thing, this calf. Let's make it, because something may have happened to Moses. I don't understand what God is doing. He ain't moving on my time. I don't understand why it's taking this person so long to come around to show them that they love me. But since they're not showing me, since God is not changing them at the time that I want him to change them, I'm going to do something. I'm going to go out and seek love for myself. I'm going to go out and get validated by indulging in external pleasures that God told me to stay away from, because God is not moving on my time. And I know what you told me, God. I know that you're perfect in all your ways, and I know that you got it figured out. I know that, but I needed this yesterday, and you taking too long. So I'm finna take my earrings off. I'm finna take off these gifts, and I'm gonna throw them into the fire. I'm going to create my own God. And this is the crazy part about the golden calf. The golden calf is the epitome of selfishness, the epitome of sinful desires, the epitome of everything God told us to stay away from, sin, disobedience. It's the epitome of pride. So now, if God is not moving in your life the way you want him to, you got a question for yourself. You got a question you got to answer for yourself. Have I in some way created me a golden calf? See, the cool part about your golden calf is nobody can see it. You created the golden calf in your mind. And in a minute, I'm going to show you how we've created golden calf so you can see whether or not you fit the category. I'm going to give you 5 steps. I'm going to give you 5 type of people or 5 ideologies, 5 ideas, 5 mindsets that can reveal or does reveal the fact that you have created a golden calf for yourself versus following the golden rule. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 31. You already there? Look at verse 31. I want you to look at it. I want you to get it in your mind. Get it in your head. Read it over and over. It says, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. That's easy. We overlook it because it has been ingrained in our mind and our hearts. We don't even understand the weight that it carries. But I'm about to show you this morning. Now, this is how we overanalyze it. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? All right. Instead of treating others the way we want to be treated, this is the first way we create a golden calf. By treating others the way we think they are going to treat us. Before you even meet them, you can be at the grocery store. Cashier can look like she done had a bad day. She can be frowning. She can be, her wig can be cocked to the side. She look like she just had a fight, the shirt untucked. She can just look like she just had a bad day and that she has an attitude. You get to the register and it's time for you to check your little Skittles out or your little M&Ms, whatever you got. You ain't gonna be there long. You get to the register. You've already thought in your mind how this woman may treat you, and it determines how you're going to treat her. So what do? You get to the cash register, and you have an attitude, too. You didn't even have one when you was the second or third person in line, but all of a sudden, you got to the cash register, and you made a prejudgment on how you thought that lady was going to respond to you. You said, man, you know what? I'm going to get her before she get me. Doop. That'll be $5.50. Bet. All right, you got my. Now you put it in the bag. All right, bet. Bye. What if she was contemplating suicide? What if she woke up in the morning and said, God, if you want me to stay here, send somebody to tell me that Jesus loves me. And because you thought she was going to treat you with the same disrespect that she's been treating everybody else with, you completely ignored the golden rule. And all it took was 5 seconds. Hey, I don't know what it is. I don't know who you are, but I just want to tell you. Yo, Jesus love you. Oh, my God, I just prayed that this morning. Oh, my goodness. She just bawling. You don't even know why she bawling. Because God was working behind the scenes, even when you couldn't see it. That's why we have to treat others the way we want to be treated. Because truth be told, when you're feeling down, you can hide your feelings. But the only reason you have that frown on your face is because you want somebody to come and ask what's wrong with you. You sit back in the back with your hood on. You do whatever you want to do because you want somebody to come and say, hey, baby, you okay today? What can I do for you? But your pride won't let you go ask for help yourself. So you just sit back and let people come to you. But what if they ignored you? Then you complain about it. Well, nobody sees me. And they I don't like them. They don't like me. Every time they pass me up, they treat me like this. They treat me like that. Must not them. They must not care about me. They could be reflecting. They could be an image of the treatment that you are giving them. Number 2. We create our golden calf by blaming the person to be the reason that we can't be obedient to the golden rule. You blame the person to be the reason that you can't be obedient to the golden rule. This is what this looked like. Yo, Miss Forte, man, I get what you're trying to tell me, but man, you don't know my mama. Nah, I get it, Mr. Forte. Please believe me. I understand it. I appreciate your advice, but you don't know my best friend. The moment she says this, it's going to cause me to flip out. And I can't be what Christ told me to be because she is doing something that's causing me to act contrary to what the word of God says. She is doing this. She is doing this. She's the one. Every time I go and try to ask her how her day is, she always give me attitude. I'm tired of being the bigger person. I'm tired of always putting myself on the line. She's always coming. She. He is always. You blaming somebody else? Wait a minute. You blaming somebody else to be the reason that you can't be Christ-like? So you're telling me, in essence, this is what you're telling me, that this person has enough influence to get you to act contrary to God's word, but Christ doesn't have enough, the Holy Spirit doesn't have enough power to influence you to act according to his word. So you can't tell me that you can't act according to, or you can't be influenced by the Holy Spirit, that he can't equip you with the power to walk in his truth because you're letting other people influence you. I can't do it because of them. Well, if you can't do it because of them, try doing it because Christ told you to do it. Because he will never tell you to do anything that he will not give you the power to. This is another way we create a golden calf. By canceling the golden rule when it exceeds the time limit, we feel the golden rule should be applied. By canceling the golden rule when it exceeds the time limit that we feel the golden rule should be applied. This is what it sounds like. Say, fam, I done tried to be cool with dude. I go to church. I pray, I read my Bible, but I promise you this, he got one more time. You even got the gangster saying that Kevin Harper's, you got your legs, bro, he got one more time, bro. He got one more time, fam. You can't even fight, you talking about he got one more time. Y'all can't even, anyway, that's a side note. But what I'm saying is, you have a time limit on how long you should apply the golden rule, but when Jesus never said, treat others the way you want to be treated until you feel like stopping. He never said that. And let me just be real with you as you live, and you know that now, some of the schools that you go to, you understand. Some of y'all sitting right next to people that you actually tired of dealing with. Don't look over. She looked over. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't put on the spot like that. Don't look to your right like that. I'm not going to be responsible for a fight in here. What's wrong? Y'all got people that y'all tired of. Watch this. You got people you cut off from your life because you were tired of being the bigger person. You were tired of them. And so now, Jesus, I hear what you said, but I'm out. It's too long. It's been 2 years. Been sticking by them for 2 years. You're going to have to do it because I can't. Who said you were supposed to do it anyway? You were never supposed to do that. You were just supposed to stay in position and God was going to do it through you. See, you get tired of doing something because you're relying on your own strength to get it done. So now, when you get tired of them, you gave up on this person, but you expect God not to give up on you? I promise I'm going to be out of your personal business in a minute. I'm going to lift y'all up. But I just got to point out how we set up a golden calf in our minds. So you think it's cool because nobody can see how you think. In Exodus, they had the golden calf. It was, man, what y'all doing, man? This golden calf sitting right here. Y'all not even trying to hide it. It's like, it's right here. Yeah, but your mindset is a golden calf. Because you've exalted the way you feel over what God said. I think it's kind of funny how it took us 5 years to change, or it took us 5 years for us to really walk in the truth of God's word. But then once we get to a place where we are really walking with Christ and God sends us somebody that's maybe an immature Christian, we expect them to change in 5 days when it took you 5 years to change from that same thing. And you know how you were fighting with God, tug of war. But God sent you somebody because he did it through you. But you are blocking what the Holy Spirit is trying to do through you in this person's life because you're shutting down the image of Christ. You may be the only Jesus somebody sees. Live like it. Number four. Another way we create a golden calf. I got one more after this. We use the golden rule to get what we want from other people. I ain't gonna even stay long here. The only reason you being nice is because you want something in return from them. The only reason you're acting like you're respecting them is because you want something else in return. The only reason you acting like you love them is because you think that they're gonna validate. Never mind. I'm not gonna go there. One way that you know if this is you or not, this is how you can test it. One way you know is if when you treat somebody with respect, or when you're showing them love and you're showing them gratitude, and they don't give you what you expected them to give you in return, this is how you tell. When they stop, you stop. When you don't receive what you thought was gonna come from that relationship or that friendship, you stop doing what God told you to do. That's one way you can tell. Oh, I love you. No, we're going to be with it to the end. Yeah, BFF. Yeah, forever, ever. Whatever you need, I got you. No, I got you. Don't go to the party, then I won't go. Yeah, you don't want me to be with my friends tonight and you want me to be with you? Oh, yeah, let's do it. But the moment they stop, they show that they're not going to give you what you want, you switch up on them. You stop showing them love. Number five, the last way that we create a golden calf versus following the golden rule is that you make yourself to be the golden calf. You make yourself to be the object that people are supposed to worship. I blame you, but it's not on you. I get it. The culture, man, you got iPhone, you got an iMac, your iBook, iPods, I this, I that, but you got every I in the world attached to a technological device. You got every I this, iPhone, iPods. I thought AirPods was called iPod. I'm getting twisted just thinking about it. Like, that's how many I's I'm telling you, you are conditioned to make yourself the center of everybody's attention. I get it, but you got to come away from it. You're making yourself the object of everybody's worship. And the moment that they show you that they don't worship you, that they are not giving you what you wanted them to give you, you turn your back and say, oh, man, they tripping. Newsflash, you might be the one tripping. See, what you've probably done, you've probably taken God off the throne of your heart and you put yourself there. And one way that you can know if you've taken God off the throne of your heart and you put yourself there, pay attention to what you pray for. When you go down on your knees at night, what are you praying for? Are you always asking God to do something for you? Or do you take a moment to ask God what you can do for him? You want him to move on your timetable, but God ain't like that. I got a story real quick. I remember when I was in high school, played football, right? I was a freshman on varsity. 83% of y'all in the room don't know what it's like to be a freshman on varsity, but it's all good. You can understand this story, all right? I get it. I know, I understand. Y'all not athletes in here. I get it. He said, I don't know what you're talking about, bro. The message was good up until you said that, bro. You can meet me outside. My bad, bro. My bad, fam. I'm sorry. I was a freshman on varsity, right? Went to football practice. Before I got to football practice, we lost a game. We lost a game on what? We lost a game on Friday. Went to my coach on Monday. I said, yo, coach, got to talk to you for a minute. Yeah, man, sure, what you want? I said, coach, man, I ain't saying I'm the reason we lost the game, but I only got the ball three times. Looked at him dead in his eye. I only got the ball three times, man. What you saying, Sheridan? Coach, I need the ball if we gonna win. Ain't that why I'm here? You knew me before I got here. I can make things happen. I'm a playmaker, running back. Come on, coach. I know I'm a freshman, but give me a chance, man. He looked at me dead in my eyes. All right, Forte, I see you at practice. We went to practice. blew the whistle, we stretched and everything. All right, we're going to do something different today. Start looking around. I start looking around like something was wrong. I'm like, bro, what? Why are we switching this up? We always go from stretching to special teams to this. I said, what are we about to do different? I need my starting defense on this side, and I need my third string offense going against the starting defense. I'm like, all right, bet. I'm starting. I'm sitting down. Sheridan, Forte. Yo, what's up, coach? I need you with the third string offense. What? I don't do three strings. I don't even know how to count to three, coach. What's going on? Like, you tripping. What is this third string you talking about? Third string defense, son. Get there. It was a play called 32 Victor. Bread and butter play. Called it. Bah. Everybody's running good. Everybody's conditioned. I got a few yards, about 10, 15 yards on the play. All right, let's run it again. Like, oh, yeah, that's what's up. Let's do it again. Broke, got about 8 yards. Okay, yeah, let's do it again. Yeah, all right. Yeah, what's up, man? I'm ready. Ah, broke it. This time I broke it, I scored on it, and I ran like 50 yards. Do it again, Forte. You got 10 seconds to get back. What? Pow. Get up, run it again. Coach, we're not going to change the play. Forte, don't talk back to me. Let's do it again. Coach, I don't get no water. Let's do it again. I kid you not. We ran the same play for over 20 minutes without us getting a water break. I was tired. The O-line was tired. The receivers were tired. The coaches were tired. Everybody at practice was tired because I made it about me. And what I'm trying to tell you is that when you make it about you, everybody in your life, a lot of people in your life that you call yourself closely associated with, are getting tired of it being all about you. About 15, 20 minutes, I told you that I was gaining yards. I began getting hit harder and harder and harder and harder. And it felt like the attacks were coming more viciously. I'm like, wait, hold on, wait a minute. It's like y'all not even blocking for me. It's like, he's like, man, Forte, man, we tired, man. He keeps subbing out the defense, man. We tired, bro. Like, I mean, what did you do? I said, man, all I asked, I just asked him for the ball. And he gave it to me. But what I didn't realize was that my own selfish desires made everybody else on the team suffer because of what I wanted. And they were tired of dealing with it. They tired of dealing with it. In your life, they tired of dealing with it. But if you want the answer, if you want to have, if this is you, either one of these five, if this is you, you might be the person that say, man, I don't want to make it about me no more. Like, I'm not tired. Like I'm good. I give it up. I relinquish my rights. Like, I want to follow the golden rule. Like, this is me. Forte, I hear you. I'm convicted. And I want to do exactly how God told me to do it. But I just don't know how to get it done. Forte, I hear what you're saying. And it sounds good. And that little story you said, I get it. But I just don't know where to start. See, some of the problem is it's not the fact that you don't want to. It's just you don't even know how to start. You don't even know how to start forgiving. Like, you don't even know who to go to. Man, your dad not even in your life. And he hurt you when you was little? Like, Forte, how am I supposed to get it? Do I supposed to go and have a conversation with him? Like, what am I supposed to do? Some of y'all were abused in this room. And because of that abuse of the person that was supposed to love you, through that abuse, they gave you a false idea of what true love was. And now the way you love is limited because of the role model that you had in your life didn't know how to show it. That may be you. I get it. I don't even know how to love. For Tay, like, I'm tired of me, man. I got you. John 13, verse 34 through 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." See, the problem is with most Christians that profess to be Christians is that we get our idea of what love's supposed to be from the culture. And the culture tells you that your feelings are to take priority over the love that God has called you to. But the golden rule saying, nah, the love takes priority over your feelings. See, when you make the way you feel the foundation and the way you feel is shaky, you say, well, maybe my love for this person is shaky. And if that's shaky, then maybe I'm not supposed to be around him anyway. But what Christ is saying, nah, I showed you how to love. Just as I have loved you, not how your mom loved or how your dad loved or how your sister loved or even how you love cake or how you love food. Not that type of love. See, I showed you how to love. And when you walk in the way I told you to love, even when you don't feel like loving, even when you don't feel like treating somebody else the way you want to be treated, because I said it, it's going to be enough for you to keep doing it, even in the midst of your fatigue, even when you're tired, even when that person tried to push you out of their life, even when you made yourself your own golden calf, you will destroy that image and you will put me back on the throne of your heart, and everything that you do will flow from me. But the thing is, I got to have your heart. You got to love the way I told you to love. You got to give the way I told you to give. You have to stop giving your heart to people who hurt you and give your heart to the God that holds you. Stop giving it to the people that hurt you and they show you who they are. Now your heart is broken and God himself can't even come in and mend the pieces because you're blocking his hand, because the fact that you lost trust in him made you lose trust in God. And you think that this person was a true representation of God, and they flawed just like you are. And they will mess up. But when they mess up, you turn to the one who's never messed up, who never treated you wrong, who never rejected you, who loved you beyond what you deserve, who was, when you were an enemy of him, died on the cross for your sins. Not only died, but he stayed in the grave for 3 days and he resurrected. And he said, anybody that come to me, you can do the same thing. See, that thing that's dead in your life, that calf that's dead in your life. See, I have the power for you to destroy that and resurrect your life, to resurrect your love, to resurrect your belief, to resurrect everything that I have given you to have, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control. I have the power to give it to you. In actuality, if you are in me, you already have it. But the problem is you have so much flesh that when it's time to live it out, people can't even see me because you in the way. It's time to give it up. Last scripture, and I'm done. Philippians 2, verse 4 through 7 says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was with God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human." So you got to understand, there were certain privileges that God gave up. When he was in heaven, there was a glory that he had. When he was in heaven, before he came to the earth, there were certain privileges that he had. But because he loved you so much, he gave those up. That's why it says he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. When he thought of you, he said, yeah, I'm God. I'm the creator of the universe. I'm this and I'm that. But I'm willing to let go of this life so I can save their life. And when he let it go, he came down as a servant. Not to be served, but to serve. And if Jesus Christ, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the one who placed their stars in the place and he knows them all by name, the one that the wind doesn't even blow without his permission, the one that when demons hear his name, they begin to tremble, that Jesus Christ, if he can let go of his glory and come to earth to die for you, then for sure you can let go of your pride to live for him. I know you can. It's just a matter of wanting to do it. And I love the fact that Jesus was a carpenter, man. See, everybody look at that and they say, ah, carpenter, yeah, okay. Yeah. He came to earth to be a carpenter. Hi, Jesus, whatever. But see, I go deeper than that. He showed us everything he did. He showed us who we are, who we were, what we have in him. The fact that he was a carpenter, we all know a carpenter builds things. So with that said, you are a builder too. The question is, what are you building? Are you building a relationship with him? Or are you building a relationship with the world? Are you building on selflessness? Or are you building on selfishness? Are you building on self-serving? Or are you building on serving him? And I just got one more last. I got one last question for you. One last question. Do you choose the golden calf? Or do you choose the golden rule? I'm gonna go out on a limb. I believe there's a lot of people in here, and you don't even have to come up if you don't want to, but if you feel led to, you can. There's a lot of people in here that say, yo, Forte, that message was for me. Matter of fact, I just prayed that last night. I asked God to send something, send a word, send somebody, send a thing, send a verse, whatever it is, to let me know that he hears my cry. Because the truth is, the silent tears that you cry that nobody else sees because you are tired of being you, God catch every last one of them. The same tears that you cried in front of your friends that they clowned you for are the same tears that God sees in his hands. And he said, baby, just keep holding on. I got you. I understand that you're tired. I understand that you want to give up. I understand that you have not told anybody that you struggle with suicide. I understand the abuse. I understand the pain. I understand the suffering. I understand that you're tired. You feel like the world is on top of you. But if you just hold on a little longer, I'm sending something. And the word was for you today. Matter of fact, you don't even have to come up. At your seat, you can make a declaration today to say, God, I'm tired of living for me. I want to live for you. But the only way you can do it is by the love of Christ. The only way you can do it is by the Holy Spirit's transforming power at work in your life. And you may be in here, you haven't even received Christ. And I always have to get that opportunity. If you haven't received Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, if you haven't acknowledged and confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that he died and rose from the grave, then this is your day. You might not have tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. This is your day now. This is your day now. So what I want everybody to do, I want you to bow your heads. Nobody looking. Nobody looking. If that's you, if you want to receive Christ for the first time, I just want you to put your hand up real quick. Real quick. If you say, I'm tired, God, I believe that message was for me. I believe that there is greater for me. If you want to receive Christ, we got you. Well, maybe you already have Christ. Maybe you already received Christ, and that's not you, but maybe you have received Christ, but you're not living in a manner that Christ has called you to live. Instead of raising your hand, I want you to decide right now in your heart that before you go forward, that you are going to dedicate every ounce of your energy to living how Christ told you to live. Because truth is, leaders, godly leaders, never asked to be leaders. God placed them in that position. And whether you know it or not, there is somebody looking at you. You're leading somebody by your actions without you even knowing it. If that's you, make up right now in your heart, in your mind, that you're gonna live for him no matter what. Make up in your mind today that you're gonna choose the golden rule over the golden calf, that you're not gonna erect an idol any longer. If you're struggling with it, you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with smoking, if you're struggling with pride, if you have erected a golden calf that God is not pleased with but has given you mercy to get it right, he's given you time after time after time. Today is the day. Do not walk out of here, because you do not know what tomorrow brings. You do not know what tomorrow holds for your life. You think that your youth is a token and it's something that you can use however you want it to use. That's not biblical. Make up in your mind today, because you may be the Jesus, the last Jesus that somebody around you needs to see. And I'm going to pray us out. And once I'm done praying, we're dismissed. Father God, I thank you. God, I thank you for this opportunity that you've allowed your sons and your daughters to come into the room, come into your house to receive a word. God, I pray that the word was piercing. God, I pray that the word was dynamic. God, I pray that the word was everything you wanted it to be. God, I pray that I was out of the way. And I pray that even where I messed up, even where I fell short, God, I pray that your word went forth and planted the seed, or watered the seed that was already planted in somebody's heart, so that you can provide the increase. God, I believe that there are youth in this building that are tired. You said in your word, even youth grow tired and weary. Even young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. And I believe that it's true. And so, God, anybody that is ashamed to raise their hand, anybody that is ashamed to get out of their seats, any youth that is ashamed to stand up in front of their friends, God, I pray that you will give them boldness this morning. God, I pray that you will remove the pride, that you will remove the shame, and let them stand up and make a declaration that says, from this day forward, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ and nobody else, no matter what it costs me. Strengthen them. Be with them. Give them the word from your mouth. God, I pray that their relationship strengthens because of what was spoken today. God, I pray that they don't treat it like any other relationship. God, I pray that they know who you are, and I pray that you will equip them with the tools that they need to go forth and live for you. God, we thank you. We love you. And it's all of these things that I ask in your son, Jesus' name, and nobody else. Amen.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to our Next Level Youth online services. My name is Isaac Shepherd. You can find more youth content on our Facebook and Instagram at Next Level Youth W3. Also, don't forget to tune in to Dr. Tony Evans every Sunday at 11 a.m. on our OCBF Church, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you.